You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Junie Riddle, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our favorite person on the earth, Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
You know, I resent that statement. Because, I mean, you're limiting it to one planet, and I think that that's cutting me a little short.
What about the Milky Way?
I'll settle for a galaxy.
Okay, good. Thank you. We appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Corey, we were talking about wide receiver earlier. Obviously, the Titans.
I kind of had a feeling that was going to come up.
I bet you did. Titans have not really addressed that yet. Now, look, in all fairness, The veteran pool and free agency is not exactly awe-inspiring when it comes to wide receiver. We know that the draft is still yet to come, and I would assume the Titans will spend at least one, maybe a couple of picks on wide receiver. My question to you is there a way where you feel comfortable about the wide receiver room heading into this season, given what we know about the options that are out there right now for the Tennessee Titans?
No, not really. And, I mean, part of that is just their inability to keep guys on the field and have quality depth at this point, because right now you're just looking for three quality starters, you know, let alone looking for depth. I mean, like, NWI can play, you know, he can give you snaps because we know, you know, he can be Cody Hollister, and when he's on the field, you know, you're going to run the football. But he can catch the ball a little bit, too. I think he did have 50 catches a couple of years ago. So, you know, he's not a game breaker. He's kind of a guy who fits what you need him to do, but he's not really going to stretch the field really usually or anything like that. And then you need Traylon to be Traylon. You know, you need Kyle Phillips to be what you drafted him to be. So you need a bunch of stuff that you really haven't seen to this point. And so that's kind of scary. They haven't. I mean, I would like for them to add a veteran, but which one, I don't know.
Right.
Because you don't want bad contracts. I mean, we've seen what bad contracts have done to this team. I mean, the Julio Jones trade, you know, kind of crippling for this team because he's still counting against the cap, and I think they traded away a second and a fourth. They could really use those picks right now, and they're just not going to have them. And so, you know, I know fans are frustrated. And they should be, because you'd like to see a team have more options. But I don't think you can make desperation make you make bad trades and sign bad contracts because, you know, you always say don't let one problem become two or one loss become two. You can't make, you know, a bad roster situation in 1 year turn it into a bad roster situation in multiple years, which is what we've kind of seen has led to this year.
Well, with that in mind, is there a player with more, I guess, I don't know if pressure is the right word or responsibility is the right word, whatever word you want to use, than Traylon Burks heading into this season, given the state of what the receiving room is around him?
Well, you know, I would say he's got the same pressure on him that A.J. Brown had. Well, you know, that's probably not fair. Because, you know, when Corey Davis left, it was pretty much all on A.J., but they brought in Julio. Julio just never really played or practiced. And so it seemed like he was always on AJ to kind of be that guy. But yeah, I mean, he's kind of got to be the passing game. You know, the one thing we're not talking about is Chig.
Yep.
And how big of a part of the passing game, you know, he can be. We saw Marcus Mariota have his best season in year two, and really his only two targets that year were Rishard Matthews and Delanie Walker.
Yep.
So it can happen. That doesn't mean I would want it to happen that way. But, you know, that you'd certainly like to have some more viable targets. And you'd also, by the way, like to have someone who can stretch the field. And I know, you know, you probably feel like Traylon can stretch the field. You'd like to have someone who can stretch the field for him so that you can get him the ball in the middle of the field and let him run through tacklers like AJ did.
We're talking with Corey Curtis right now. Corey, Rand Carthon spoke yesterday at the NFL owners meeting about Kevin Byard and said that Kevin Byard and his team did not request to be released. But the fact of the matter is they still asked him to take a pay cut. What do you think the future with Kevin Byard in this team is, and do you think that they will try to move off from him this offseason?
You know, it's kind of unfathomable to me that you would ask that guy to take a pay cut. It really is, for a variety of reasons. But I just, that one threw me for a loop. And if they're willing to ask him to take a pay cut, it tells me they're probably willing to move on if they absolutely have to. I don't know why you'd want to move on from him. I think he's still got plenty of good football left in him. He doesn't miss games. He's a leader. I mean, he checks every box. He makes plays that wins games. So I don't understand the thought of moving on from him other than, you know, you want to completely, you know, gut the ship. But if you're gonna move on from Kevin Byard, why haven't you moved on from Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill?
Yep.
I mean, you know, if you're going to get rid of your best players for cap space and assets, you know, get rid of all of them, you know, not just one. So these situations we've seen before, and sometimes they work themselves out, but in my lifetime I find usually they don't. So I am prepared for the disappointment that it will not be worked out, but we'll see.
Now, Corey, with the remaining holes on this team and what they've done in free agency, a lot of you know, smaller end deals, 1 to 2 years with guaranteed money involved with it, does this kind of show that the Titans are kind of taking this year to evaluate where they are and what they have? And do you kind of see it as more of a rebuilding year than trying to be competitive with some of the rest of these AFC teams?
I think that's fair. I mean, I don't know if they, you know, it depends on if you think the cap is real or not. I think they're taking this year to try to kind of fix their cap issues. I think that, you know, like I said, they also don't want to sign any bad contracts, which I think is smart, because everybody overpays in that first wave of free agency. But, you know, you've got to look at the roster realistically and say, you know, what is this team? And it's not a team that doesn't look like it's going to compete with the elite teams in football. And so that's why I always feel like there are bigger moves coming this year, because we don't know what the plan is. You know, Mike Vrabel, Rand Carthon haven't come out and said this is what we're doing. And I just feel like, you know, if you're gonna retool, rebuild, whatever, you know, we talked about Kevin Byard, Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry. Those are all moves that make sense. But they're all still here. So if they're all still here and they want to be competitive this year, what's the next big move that's coming? Because there has to be one, right? I mean, there's got to be a bigger move than has happened to this point. Are they waiting on the DeAndre Hopkins price tag to go down? You know, are they waiting for someone to get released? You know, I don't know, but I feel like that there's got to be another move other than drafting players to be competitive for this season.
Corey Curtis from News 2 with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Corey, what are they doing at backup quarterback? Because I was talking about this earlier. To me, if Malik Willis comes into camp and he wins the job, then great. And you feel good about him being the backup quarterback, that's awesome. For that to be the plan heading into training camp, I think would be a massive mistake. So what are they doing at backup quarterback, do you think, now that Dobbs is gone?
Well, it certainly doesn't seem that they are in a hurry. Because, you know, we all thought that Dobbs was a good fit. I mean, they all talked about what a good fit that he was. And, you know, he wanted to be back. So I'm surprised that he's not. But I think the realistic way to look at it is this. The cheapest way to do it, and they're clearly trying to save money up against the cap, is to have Malik Willis be your guy. And you know, what do we always say about the backup quarterback? Ideally, he never plays.
Yep.
Okay? And so if you fix your offensive line to the point where your quarterback can survive the season, then you don't have to worry about him playing. And let's be realistic. You get to camp, you know, first week or two, and you see Malik and you go, guys, we just don't think he's still ready. You can go get a guy. When did they get Josh Dobbs last season? I mean, they plucked him off the practice squad like week 10, right?
Yeah, like week 16, 15, something okay, like that. Yeah,
all right. So, you know, with the practice squads, you can do that. You can do that. There's some leeway to just go and grab a quarterback and put him on your roster now. The Falcons did it with Logan Woodside. And so I think that, you know, they're going to give Malik every opportunity to run the offense, touch the football, you know, make plays, learn that they can. And if they get in this situation again, then they can go find somebody. Because let's be realistic. When you're in that situation of having to play your backup quarterback, you're not winning many of those games anyway.
Corey, I'm looking at the NFL futures bets on FanDuel Sportsbook right now. And then the NFC North, the Detroit Lions are the favorite, followed by the Minnesota Vikings, followed by the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers in dead last. Are you prepared for this?
Yeah, I really am. I'm prepared for a 30-year run. You know, when I was a kid, when I was a little baby Bears fan, the Packers were terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, they were horrible. Lynn Dickey was their quarterback, and they just used to get the stew beat out of them every week. And the world was a much better place.
Corey Curtis.
If we can reset the galaxy to that, I think we'll all be good.
Just want to point out the Lions are the favorite to win the division, and right now Dan Campbell's the favorite for Coach of the Year. So make of that what you will. Corey Curtis with us here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Corey, thank you, sir. We appreciate you as always.
Appreciate it, Corey.
You guys have a good day. Let's go Owls, right?
Yes, let's go Owls. Absolutely. FAU all the way. Thank you, Corey. Corey Curtis with us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Speaking of the Owls, the tournament is heating up, and there's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. That's because right now FanDuel is giving new customers a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Rob and sign up today to claim your no-sweat first bet. And you can wager on everything from the money line to point spreads to which team will be cutting down the nets. You heard Corey bring up FAU there. They've been really good. I think I'm taking them. And I'll go with UConn as well in the other matchup. But you can take it any way you want to take it. All in an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Don't miss your shot at a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/Rob to sign up. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 deposit required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Junie Riddle, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Thanks to Corey Curtis for being with us in the last segment. Got a texter that says, nice to hear Corey reference his all-time favorite player, Marcus Mariota. A lot of people give Corey and Joe a lot of flack for Marcus Mariota. So Marcus Mariota takes over the year.
I mean,
they did love him.
I mean, he started out in Tennessee really well.
He did.
You know, first couple of years, he won a playoff game.
He did.
Caught his own touchdown pass in Kansas City. That was pretty electric.
Yes, he did.
But you know, all good things come to an end, and, you know, he's now a perennial backup up in Philadelphia with AJ now. Best leader he's ever played with.
Yeah. So looking forward to that.
Full circle.
See how that goes coming up in Philadelphia. So we were talking about this during the break, and they're showing highlights or have been on the NFL Network of Will Levis and his pro day. Now, look, don't get me started on the pro day stuff, because I talked about this last week. And the pro days, people just go nuts with pro day stuff. And I remember the Zach Wilson pro day. He made the one throw fading away, like kind of like across his body, and everybody's like, "Oh my gosh, Zach Wilson! He's the next Patrick Mahomes." Like, pump the brakes a little.
It's the same thing about Malik Willis and his pro day. He did the whole roll out, you know, take another turn, roll out again, wait for your receiver to get down there, and chuck it 60 yards to show off your arm strength.
Exactly. So Will Levis, I mean, he had a good pro day, and there's, you know, there's videos out there of him slinging the ball 65, 70 yards down the field, and it's like, okay, well, yeah, we knew Will Levis could do that, but to your point, Titans were there. And they were in Kentucky for the pro day. There are reports out there that they've met with Will Levis and that he's part of the conversation there with the Tennessee Titans. Now, look, we talked about this at the combine. Like, Titans are going to meet with a lot of people at the combine. They're meeting with a lot of people at pro day. But I do wonder if there's a chance for the Titans to go snag a quarterback this year. It's probably not going to be C.J. Stroud. Probably not going to be Bryce Young. I mean, the momentum looks like C.J. Stroud's going number one overall to Carolina. We'll see what happens on that front. If he goes number one, I would expect Bryce Young to go number two to Houston. And then there's the Anthony Richardson, Will Levis part of this, where I think both of those guys pretty universally are regarded as they got a whole lot of ability and a lot of upside, but not really sure where the floor is with either one of those guys either. What do you make of the Will Levis discussion, and if the Titans could be involved in getting him, whether that's at 11 or if they've got to move up to 9 or 10 or whatever it would be to get in the quarterback conversation? What do you make of the Will Levis, Anthony Richardson part of this?
So Anthony Richardson, I think, should have went back to school. This whole narrative that he's a first-round quarterback, I think, is baloney. I mean, listen, he is a freak athlete. He's got a lot of upside to him. But I told you earlier, I think he's Terrell Pryor 2.0. I wouldn't draft him. I would definitely not waste a first-round pick on him. I think that you could get a really valuable player, especially in the top 10. I mean, that's where you go and get a 10-year starter. And to take a risk and a flyer on Anthony Richardson, I just think he is a bigger version of, like, a Malik Willis. Like, I think he's that raw of a prospect. Now, when it comes to Will Levis, I think Levis is definitely a more refined prospect. I definitely think he's a better passer. I think he's a better overall quarterback. It just kind of comes down to his decision-making. And I think that, you know, it really kind of depends on where he falls to. And I think that as the Anthony Richardson hype elevates and Will Levis starts to drop a little bit on people's boards, if he starts to fall back and he falls with a team in a better situation, I mean, I think you're talking about a guy that could really thrive. He has everything that you want. He has a big arm. He has a quick release. He's athletic. He's mobile. He's big. He can move. He'll run somebody over. He doesn't mind to do that. And I look at him, and I looked at his playmaking ability while he's been at Kentucky, and I'm just saying, if he falls to the right fit, and, you know, he's probably going to be a guy that's going to sit a year. I don't think he's going to be one of those that immediately starts. But I like his upside enough to where he's a guy that has similar traits to a Josh Allen. Because we all know, Josh Allen, when he was drafted, everybody was like, yo, who is this guy? Yep. He didn't even complete 60% of his passes in college. And he came to the NFL and he struggled for a bit, but he finally caught on and got it. I feel like Will Levis can potentially be a guy like that. And I see his floor being like a Carson Wentz, you know, a guy with a lot of upside, a lot of talent, a lot of athleticism, but just makes dumb mistakes. And I think if your floor is Carson Wentz, then I think that you are deserving to go at least in the first round, because on a good day, you can really light up the box score.
Well, it's interesting to watch. Not that, you know, we've talked about this before. We're in the heat of mock draft season, as I like to call it right now. We're right in the heat of it. And we're going to see a lot of things move and kind of shake around a little bit before the actual draft takes place next month. But I'm looking at a mock draft from CBS Sports that came out this morning, and it's got Will Levis at 18. It's dropped him all the way down to 18, and the Rams have traded up in their mock draft to go get him at 18. So to your point, like with the C.J. Stroud conversation, who looks like the momentum is there for him going number one, Bryce Young at two. They've got Anthony Richardson at four in this mock draft on CBS, and then not another quarterback until Will Levis at 18 by the Rams there moving up to get him. Like, it does feel like in the mock draft world, Will Levis is starting to lose a little bit of steam. Not that that means anything at the actual draft time, because I still think at that position, if you got him rated as a first-round guy, if you're a team, and a run goes on quarterbacks, we know the first two picks are probably going to be quarterbacks. We'll see where Richardson goes after that. Like, if Levis is the fourth guy, like, somebody's going to jump up to go get him at some point.
I actually saw a mock draft where Minnesota traded up with the Eagles at 10 and went up and got him.
Yep.
I think it could be a team like that that's really needy, but it's not – they don't have the pressure to get their guy right now. Like you said, the Rams would be a good fit. You know, the Vikings, the Washington Commanders, they don't necessarily know where they're at with the quarterback position. Teams like this that have a really good roster built around him, and especially if Levis drops out of the top 10, I mean, you can see it. Like, the Kansas City Chiefs traded up to go and get a guy like Patrick Mahomes, a guy with a lot of upside, let him sit and let him develop a little bit under Andy Reid. I'm just telling you, in that mock draft that you just mentioned, if he goes to the Rams and he's with Sean McVay, and they got he's got Cooper Kupp and company and Aaron Donald on defense and that, you know, I know that they're moving off a lot of contracts and a lot of their star players, but that would be like a perfect ideal scenario to where Will Levis would go in and immediately thrive because he's in a really good offensive system. I mean, Will Levis's upside is a lot more than a Jared Goff. You know what I mean? And if Sean McVay can take Jared Goff to the Super Bowl in his second year in the league when, you know, he was still really a raw prospect. I mean, I think he could do a lot with the upside with Will Levis.
That is NFC North favorite quarterback right now, and according to the odds, Jared Goff to you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, you got to look at the Lions roster, man. The Lions have built up a pretty stacked team this year. I mean, offensive line's good.
Division favorites.
Receivers are good. They've gone all defense in free agency and picked up a lot of good guys. I like the Lions a lot.
Division favorites.
I know you don't like it. You don't like it because your team's picked last. But
it's all right. A little chip on the shoulder.
Restore the roar.
It's all good. 615-737-1025. By the way, John on the text line says, so what happens to Malik if they take a quarterback? Like, to me, if you're taking a quarterback, you're viewing him as your long-term starter. Like, I think if they draft – let's say they drafted Levis at 11. Let's just for the sake of argument. He's not playing. He's not starting this year. Like, it'll be Tannehill, I think. And then Levis will come in and will be the backup. And maybe at some point in this year, you feel good about him being the guy. I think they would keep Tannehill if they drafted a quarterback at 11. That's just me.
I totally agree. I mean, the situation with the contract, it makes perfect sense if they were to go out and draft a guy this year, let him sit behind Tannehill, let him hold the clipboard, learn. Hopefully, they don't have to get thrown into the action like Malik Willis did. But yeah, they're gonna hold on to Tannehill and use him as a bridge this
year. But what it means for Malik, if that's the route they go, is his time is likely done here, would be my guess.
Toodles.
Yeah, so that would probably be what that means at that point. 615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation on the draft, and we'll get into the Titans and the wide receiver position. How in the world can they fix it heading into this season? Can they fix it heading into this season? All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. It is your last chance to sign up and play the official four-team game bracket challenge brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports, and the Bluffs at Rocky Ridge. You can enjoy the biggest and best views in the Nashville area from your dream acreage home site. Call now at 866-GET-LAND. You can go to thegamenashville.com/bracket challenge or the Game Nashville app and pick your teams for a chance to win tickets to see Luke Combs at Nissan Stadium coming up on Saturday, April 15th. We're taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Andrew on the text line says, why are we talking like the Titans need 8 receivers? My Army math is bad, but we have a number one in Burks, a number three in slot in the Phillips, or Kyle Phillips, number four in NWI, and a number five in McMath or any other scrub. You can find a number two in the second or third round. This is from Andrew on the text line. Well, Look, I think you're taking a heavy leap of faith calling Treylon Burks a number one wide receiver.
A huge leap.
Look, I know you drafted him to be that. I don't know what you saw out of Treylon Burks last year that makes you think he's that right now.
I think Treylon Burks is going to wind up being a number two. I really do. I mean, even before the draft, and Michelle can vouch for me for this, I was like, I see a lot of other receivers over him. I don't know. For me personally, I just don't think his route tree is versatile enough. I think, you know, if you can get him open into the open field, he's a big body, he's fast. You know, he's going to be a hard guy to bring down. But when you're talking about a wide receiver in today's game that makes game-changing plays and that goes up and makes those plays, I don't think he's that guy.
Well, look, I like him. Like, I think he's good. And there are some moments last year. I mean, the Green Bay game, I mean, he dusted Jaire Alexander and went up and got the ball. It was really good. I mean, the next – I don't know if it was the next week or the week after against Jacksonville, he went up and got one 45 yards down the field. He had some moments where he looked good. Now, he was hurt half of last year, and I think that there was a learning curve for him at the NFL level. Now, look, I think he's going to be good. Is he right now at this moment – ready to be a number one wide receiver in the NFL? I don't know. Like, that's your hope if you're the Titans. But my whole point goes back to, like, if you're trying to be competitive this year and you're trying to compete in the AFC South and get back in the playoffs, like, entering the season with Treylon Burks as your number one guy and not really a clear number two. And that's the other thing with Andrews Tex. Like, yeah, I like Kyle Phillips. He looked good in training camp. The guy got hurt in the first game, was immediately just a non-factor the rest of the season after that. Like, Kyle Phillips, I like the skill set that he has. I have no confidence that Kyle Phillips can stay healthy. He's really small. Racy McMath hasn't stayed healthy.
Yeah, he didn't play till when? Like, week 14, week 13? It was something like Racy McMath, also a guy that had a decent training camp last year that just flat out didn't show up. It's just there's only – really one wide receiver that they can rely on right now on the roster to stay healthy, and that's NWI. And if that is the one guy that you can count on to be there game in and game out, that's a huge problem for this team. I mean, flat out, you got three guys that can't stay healthy. You don't know what really they are because Kyle Phillips is a small-bodied guy. He needs to put on some weight, and that was his problem and why he got so banged up, and he never returned. And then Treylon Burks, you know, is he going to come into camp in shape? Is he going to be a professional? We don't know that yet. Some of these guys that have high-end traits, you know, big bodies, natural ability like Treylon Burks does, sometimes these guys just flat out don't have the work ethic. So, I mean, the wide receiver position on this team is still up in the air. And they've got to address it in some form or fashion.
Well, I mean, look. They have the worst wide receiving core in the league right now.
Easily.
Now it's March, so I get it. It's March the 27th. They're gonna address it. They're going to address it in the draft in some form or fashion. I have no doubt about that. Whether it's one pick, two picks, whatever it is, they will draft a wide receiver coming up. Maybe they end up signing a veteran guy later as free agency goes on or people get cut or whatever it is. Who knows? Maybe they could make a trade. So it's not a huge deal that right now their wide receiving core isn't very good. The problem is you look at the free agency pool, and it's not good, and some of the guys who I think are not that great anyway have already been signed. There's the trade option out there, but that's going to cost you draft capital in order to do that. So do you really want to do that if you're the Titans? And then there's the draft. And look, I agree with Andrew. I agree with you. You can find good receiving depth in the draft. You can find receivers that are ready to come in and help you contribute. But to what level are they ready to help contribute? Like, you know, there's no – I could be wrong about this. I don't think there's any Ja'Marr Chase walking through the door in this draft coming up at wide receiver. So if you're drafting a wide receiver in the second round, whether that's Jalin Hyatt or whoever, like are they really ready to come in and be a reliable guy for you game in and game out as a rookie? They took Treylon Burks last year in the first round. Now, I get it. Injuries were a part of it too, but he wasn't ready to come in on a game in and game out basis and be a reliable option for you. Some rookies are, some rookies aren't. We saw A.J. Brown come in and pretty much from the jump, he's ready to go. Like, he had a 100-yard game in his first game. You know, the stats weren't always there, but he was reliable, and it was pretty clear that quickly they figured out A.J. Brown was good and that he could play. Is there a guy like that that you can identify in the draft this year? That's the question.
I mean, they're going to have to do their homework on it, but I'm just looking at the rest of the league and how teams are starting to fill out their roster and what's a winning formula in today's game. And the wide receiver position is now more important than ever in today's game. And when we look at the Titans receiving core and how we're so, you know, validated that this is the worst wide receiving core in the entire NFL, it's like, where does this Titans team rank among AFC teams? And are they actually in contention to make any sort of noise this year and actually be competitive? That's my question. It's like, what teams are they actually better than right now in the AFC?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, look, you can take a look at their division and be like, I still feel like they're probably second best team in their division, right?
I agree. But that could change. That could change.
I mean, you would assume both Houston and Indianapolis are going to draft a quarterback. Now, you know, what are the odds of both of those quarterbacks coming in and being that impactful the first year? Probably not very high. So we'll see what happens there. But, I mean, you play in a poor division. So that helps you. Now, Jacksonville, I think they're clearly the favorite. They've got Calvin Ridley coming in. But they also are going to be playing a number one schedule this year. So how does that work out for them? You know, I don't know. I still think they're clearly the favorite in the AFC South. But you take a – I mean, look at the East right now. Dolphins, they're better than the Titans are right now. Bills, for sure. I mean, the Jets are about to land Aaron Rodgers, I think. We'll see what happens on that front. The Patriots, I don't know about them. We'll see what happens on that front. The West, we know what that is with the Patriots. You got Sean Payton coming in, the Broncos. Obviously, the Raiders with Jimmy G and Devontae Adams and what they've got there. To your point, like it's a crowded house in the AFC. And right now, the Titans have the worst wide receiving core in the AFC. It's not close.
Well, and it's also about positions of impact.
Yeah.
And I see, you know, wide receiver, left tackle, you know, edge rusher. Some of these positions are big needs. You know, the Titans' positions that they're kind of solidified in is safety, which is really devalued in today's NFL. Running back, which is probably the, you know, least valued position nowadays as well. You know, guys are struggling to get, you know, second contracts. Even the best running backs in the game, like a Saquon Barkley, are getting franchise tagged and waiting till the wheels really do fall off. And it's like the Titans are really struggling to find players in impact positions. Offensive line, another one. Just in general, not even the left tackle, but, you know, center now. Off, like, guards. Their D-line, you know, that's a strength, so that's a positive. But, you know, interior linebacker, who's going to be the green dot calling out the defense? This is all questions that need to be answered with this team. And when you look at them stacked up compared to just about every team, I would say New England, Indianapolis, Houston, and Vegas are the four teams that I can for certainly say the Titans are better than. But every other team in the AFC is a question mark, and it just makes me concerned while covering this team as what is the direction, what are they going to do, are they planning to be competitive, and if not, what's the plan going forward?
Jared from Dixon on the text line says, you guys need to go back into memory lane and remember all the trash talk about A.J. Brown in his first and second year. Everyone thought he was not going to be much, and look at him top five now in the league. Burks already looks better in his flashes of goodness compared to Brown's first year. So to call it a bust is nuts. He'll be fine. First off, we haven't said Treylon Burks is a bust. Secondly, you are totally wrong. A.J. Brown was really good in his first year.
Yeah, 1,000 yards.
What are you talking about?
What? Name me one media person in Nashville that said A.J. Brown wasn't going to be a good player after his first year. Name me one. In his first year, they went to the AFC Championship game. He was an impact player throughout the entire season.
Yeah,
and even after that, he just got better and better every single year.
The knock on A.J. Brown after his second year was, all right, he had the knee problems. Now, he played in every game that year, but he had the knee problems that kept cropping up on him. And the question was, all right, is he going to be hurt all the time moving forward? That was the conversation on A.J. Brown. And then the next year, you know, he was hurt off and on. I think he played in 13 games that year, and we know what happened after that. But, like, this idea that A.J. Brown, there was a lot of trash talk about A.J. Brown his first and second year. No, there wasn't. I remember what it was like with A.J. Brown here. There's a whole lot of thinking, you know, we had the conversation on our show, could he be a top 10 wide receiver in the league? And we kind of went through at the time who those receivers were. So the difference between A.J. Brown's rookie year and Treylon Burks' rookie year is pretty stark. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans. We'll take a look at the final four matchups as well in the NCAA tournament. But right now, be caller 5-615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Janet Jackson at Bridgestone Arena coming up on May the 4th. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Robbie Stanley alongside Junie Riddle, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, and we've been discussing the wide receiver position all morning. Like we've talked about the idea of a trade. You know, Jared, we had on Friday, he doesn't think that possibility exists much with the way the Titans have decided to spend their money so far this offseason. I will say, I mean, to your point earlier in the show, Junie, they've been pretty intentional about saving money, recognizing the cap problems that they've had, you know, trying to hold back on giving these long-term deals. I mean, look, Andre Dillard has a 3-year deal, in quotation marks, that's really a 1-year deal that they can get out of after this year if things don't work out there. And they've signed a lot of 1-year deals here. So I'm interested to see what their approach continues to be. Corey Curtis joined us earlier this hour. And he said, you know, if they're going to be competitive, it feels like a big move has to come at some point. And I know the draft is coming up. Maybe the Titans insert themselves into a big move. We saw a big move with the draft last year with A.J. Brown being traded to the Philadelphia Eagles. But the more I look at it, the more I wonder, is there a big move coming? And number two, if not, is there really a path to the Titans having a dangerous receiving core this year? And you can, look, we can talk about receiving core. You know, we can talk about, you know, the offensive line. You know, do they feel good about Andre Dillard being your left tackle? Rand Carthon said with Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com, they'd like to give him a look there. But, you know, what if that didn't work? What are you doing at left tackle? Does having Andre Dillard take a tackle at number 11 overall off the board for the Titans? There's still a lot of decisions that they got to make with what they're going to do at number 11 overall. Even though they have addressed the offensive line this offseason, I think there's still more work to do there, and they got to find a left guard at some point too.
Well, that's the thing, is if they go out and they draft a, you know, left tackle, then they can move Andre Dillard in at guard. You know, that's the thing that they like about him, is that he has that, you know, first round talent grade. He was drafted there. And, you know, he's versatile. He can play numerous positions on the line, which is valuable whether he's a starter or a depth piece. And, you know, they're not stuck with this guy. And also, I don't think he's going to be as bad as Dennis Daly. And I think that that's really what Titans fans want. They just want someone that's serviceable, that's not going to allow double-digit sacks in a league.
I feel comfortable going on record and claiming that Andre Dillard would not be as bad as Dennis Daly. I'm very comfortable as we sit here today on March the 27th, not having watched Andre Dillard play a ton of football. I'm pretty comfortable saying that.
So going back to our wide receiver conversation, though, but I mean, this is what I think is going to happen. I think it's likely to happen. It's going to be the scenario. I mean, there's still, you know, some wide receivers out there. I think Treylon Burks going into this year should be looked at as your number two. You can go and get a number three off the streets. Yeah, these guys aren't flashy, but you don't need them to be anything special. You know, 500, 600 yards in a season being that third guy is what you need. And then I think they draft a guy within their first two picks. You know, last year we saw Christian Watson and George Pickens fall to the second round, and both of which had really, really good rookie campaigns that you can see going forward. So there are guys that are going to be there. There are guys that are going to have upside. You just got to find which ones are going to, you know, mix and match and work best with your team. And the bottom line is this team needs to look at offensive line. They need to look at receivers. The defense, I think, is pretty shored up. I like the additions they've made. Azeez Al-Shaair, you know, Arden Key at the edge rusher position. They filled in the holes that they needed to, Robbie. And I think if they're healthy in the secondary this year, they're going to still be a really good defensive team. They just need to keep plugging in these young, talented players on offense so that when the time comes – and they find their guy, whether it's this year or next year or whenever, that they're going to have, you know, a foundation that they can really work with to develop on.
To your point, the guy's still available at wide receiver in free agency. Kenny Golladay, Robbie Anderson, who is apparently chosen Anderson now, is available. Randall Cobb, Marvin Jones, Julio Jones, still available. So I guess you could go back down that road. Jarvis Landry is out there. Byron Pringle is out there. And, of course, Odell Beckham Jr. is out there as well. So not a ton out there that is all that appealing, hence why they're still available. The Odell part of it's interesting. You know, obviously, he was really good for the Rams a couple of years ago when he got there and was a big part of them getting to the Super Bowl. He got hurt in the Super Bowl and then didn't play last year. So that's two ACL injuries from him, and he didn't play a year ago. And then you look at his age at this point. I mean, he's 30. He'll be 31 coming up in November. It's not ancient by any stretch of the imagination. I'm interested to see where Odell ends up and what his contract looks like.
I mean, he's already come out and said that, you know, the $15 to $20 million that he was asking for was a false narrative, but he's also not playing for four.
Yeah.
I personally think he's a little bit closer to four than what he thinks he is. I mean, anytime you're a wide receiver and you have two different ACL surgeries and you're over the age of 30, it's like, dude, come on. Like, you're going to kind of be on a year-to-year basis at this point. I mean, we saw it with Julio Jones. He had 1,000 yards the following year in Atlanta. He had hamstring issues. He played half the season, got about 700 yards, which was still respectable enough for him to be a high-value trade acquisition from the Titans, deservingly getting a second-round pick. I think that at the time, we all thought that that was a decent trade, but you know, the Falcons had a little bit more insight on that, obviously, and his hamstrings are not where they were. And even when he went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, yeah, he showed some flashes, but, I mean, he was still relatively the same guy that we saw in Tennessee. So Odell Beckham Jr., I feel like, although played really well for the Rams the last time we saw him, he's still on that back nine, and is going to have to take a prove-it deal to still show that he's an elite-caliber receiver.
Junior, the final four is set in the NCAA tournament, Florida Atlantic, San Diego State in the matchup coming up in the first game on Saturday, and then the nightcap coming up Saturday will be Miami and UConn. So you're talking about a 9 seed in FAU, 2 5 seeds in San Diego State and Miami, and a 4 seed in UConn. So it's been a wild tournament to get to this point. No number 1 seeds even playing in the Elite Eight. What do you make of the final four that is now set in the NCAA tournament?
I love the parity. I love the mid-majors that are going to be playing in the final four. I'm really looking at this San Diego State and FAU game. Like, I love that matchup. I think it's going to be the better game of the two. The point guard matchup between John L. Davis and Darian Tramwell. Two really athletic, physical guards, playmakers for their teams. And I think that that game is going to be the game of the day. Also, Vlad Golden, the big man for FAU, just absolutely dominated the boards against Kansas State. And I told Michelle when we did our show Saturday prior to that I thought that he was going to be, you know, I thought he was going to be a mismatch against some of K-State's athletic bigs and how they like to run their offense. But he showed that he could play at an elite level. So FAU versus San Diego State, I think, is a very physical matchup between two teams that are super athletic, like to run the floor. And I think that's going to be a super exciting back and forth matchup.
I'm interested to see what it looks like. I'm interested to see what the TV numbers end up being. We've had a couple of people, text in today say, I'm excited about it. It's great. I wonder if the NCAA deep down is like, man, look at these matchups. I don't know if the TV ratings are going to be all that great, but I'm interested to see what it looks like, and I'm pulling for FAU. We'll see what happens on that front. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Junior Riddle will be back tomorrow with us here on the program as well, so looking forward to that. Junior, great job. You stayed awake. Way to go.
Appreciate it. Absolutely. Getting used to this 4 a.m. wake up.
Absolutely. Jason Michelle coming up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.